Good morning, church family. You can tell my voice is not complete back, but there is some, so we're going to use the best way we can, and I hope you'll be able to understand most of what we have to say. First of all, I'd like to Sister Tripona's children to stand up just for a little bit, please. Sister Tripona Tayag's children to stand up just a little bit. I want the church to turn to them and just with a sign saying, we hope to see your mom again when the Lord comes. Amen. She raised beautiful children. She had left a legacy. And we know that when the Lord comes, she will be looking for all her little ones. Amen. So make sure that you'll be there, okay? Amen. And we hope to be there with you to see her transformed by God's grace in a beautiful beautiful human being that she always have been. Thank you. I lived with my mom, I believe, just a few months. And then she had to do a few things. And, of course, I was given to a neighbor. My aunt said, no, he's my nephew, bring him home. My aunt thought that it was going to be just for 1 month, 2 months. And 4 years later, my mom showed up again. So I was not raised with a mom. And that's why I'm telling this story, just because I can relate to them all their lives. Mommy was there all their lives. And I envy them. Believe me, I envy all of you for having a saint to raise you into a human being, to shape you into what you are today. And we, Vista Church, know the Tayag very well. Amen. You are very special people. Amen. So please continue the rest of your journey until you see your mom again with a good heart the way she taught you to be. Amen. All right? And so it's very difficult to be separated from a mom, but it's just going to be a short while. Amen. Now, how many trees do you have inside of this church today? How many trees? Can you look around and see how many trees do we have inside of this church today? Each one of us is a tree. According to scriptures, there's two types of trees. There are those that are grown quickly and falls because they are wicked. But there are trees that are planted by the waters. And the Bible says they are never lose their leaves. They are ever, ever, ever green. That's the symbol of this tree, the pine. In a temple of Solomon, Solomon had a different idea of evergreen because of the area. So they didn't have pine trees inside of as a tree. They have palm trees. The tree has been inside of the churches forever. Those are trees. Behind those there are trees. You are sitting in a tree. Tree is part of everything that we do in life. So it was a tree, just before a tree, that humans allow Satan to come into this world. There was a tree of life, but there is also a tree of obedience. I don't like to call good and evil, because it was a tree of obedience. If they obeyed, that tree would never have been called the tree of good and evil. If they obeyed, the tree would be exactly what it was intended to be, a good tree with a good fruit. So sometimes we can use something good, and because we make bad choices, turn into something bad. We decide what to plant. We decide what seed do we like to harvest. This text caught my attention many, many years ago. When I first came to the United States, I came to continue my education. I finished theology in Brazil. And I came here just to get some education, and my plan was to go back and to become theology teacher. That was my plan. But the Lord decided to do something different. So we came, and when I was going to school, I found a book this thick, a very scary, you know, when books are this, it's fine. But when they are this big, it's scary. So I got that book, and I was called attention to the book because the book says the seed. That's all they said, the seed. And I said, the seed, why so thick? But it was a book in theology. And then I started going through the book, and my mind opened to something that I have never seen before, even though I have already read the Bible completely. There is something in the Bible about the seed that unless you understand this concept, you probably have no idea what Christmas is all about. So the intent of our message today is to bring you close to the understanding of this gift of the seed. Amen. And I will put enmity between you. Notice that the negative words I put in red, because they are references to the destroyer, to the one who wants to smash the seed, not to plant the seed. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, angels don't have children, do they?
No.
They cannot procreate. So why is God saying, your offspring? And God was talking to Satan, not necessarily to a serpent, symbolically to a serpent, but literally to the devil. So today, we like to share with you this. The moment that Adam and Eve commit sin, Satan starts to recruit her seed. Who was the first seed of Satan?
Cain.
The first one who decided to leave his parents and be adopted by the destroyer. And also his sister. And that's how evil was procreated afterwards. But God had Abel, and Cain disabled him. Silenced him. But he was not silenced, and he's still not silent. If you look in the book of Hebrews, the voice of Abel is still speaking very loud. So let's go into the topic. The seed. Oh, this is supposed to be very slowly so you can enjoy all the time that I put into this thing. This is the way it's supposed to. I want you to see the hands of God bring the seed. Okay, that was the intent of this whole graphic. It's like God is giving the seed, okay? So take this in mind. Before we go, we have to take care of some business. Let the several churches present to God Christmas trees in every church. And then let them hang their own. The seed. You put a seed over here, and this tree will produce fruit. Remember, you put some seed inside here, put it here, okay? That's the intent of this. Let's decorate this with fruits, with seeds. And then it says here, beneficent and gratitude. And then it continues, I entreat you, my brethren and sisters, to make this coming Christmas a blessing to yourselves and to others. Christmas is only Christmas if it's intended to be a blessing to others. The destroyer wants to turn Christmas in a very selfish season. Christmas is not about receiving, it's about giving. Okay? This is Review and Herald, December 9, 1844, page 3, just for your reference. That's all that I want to say about that. Let's go back to the Bible. And the Lord God called unto Adam. In the original, that's what it says. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Now, when God called unto Adam, the versions of the Bible assume that God was calling the man. If you read in some versions, it says, and the Lord called unto the man. But the original says Adam. And who is and who was at this time Adam? Both male and female. So when God called Adam, he was referring to humans. The word Adam originally meant humans. Humans, where are you? And what happened to them? They were behind the trees. Instead of standing tall as a tree, they were behind. Why? Because they have sinned. They need, now they are feeling ashamed. They need now, how do I get out of this trouble? Have you noticed when your kids also getting themselves in trouble, and sometimes they try to hide and everything else until they have to face consequence? And I will put enmity, this is the Bible verse that talks about God spoke to them and says, you know, I created you. It is my responsibility to find you a way out of this. I will provide the seed that will be planted and will give fruits. And God made that promise. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And he was the seed of the woman and also the seed of Abraham. It says in Genesis 22, verse 18, New King James Version, in your seed all the nations of the earth. I wonder sometimes the disciples got this wrong, many Hebrews got this wrong, and many churches today still get it wrong, thinking that salvation was only offered to the Jewish people. Read this verse. In your seed, all the nations, Filipinos. I remember I made a mistake here one time. I was trying to say Filipinos and I said Philistines. All Hispanics, if you're from Africa, if you're from South America, North America, Europe, Australia, Asia, it doesn't matter where you're from. All nations. The seed was to provide hope to every single human being. It doesn't matter where kind of gender, age, or shape, or form. If you are a human being, the seed was coming to rescue you. And then it says, Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say, and to the seeds. It's talking about only one. And which one was that? Christ Jesus. There is no, the Bible says clearly, there is no other mediator. There is nobody else that can save us. I know that some of you may be Catholics. Some of you may have believed that you can pray to somebody else. No. We can only pray to God. Only God can bring us salvation. Galatians 3, verse 16, New King James. Jesus is the seed of David. Through the Messiah, the kingdom of God shall be established forever. When God was talking to Solomon and says that he was going to be the next king, but and then it says that his kingdom, David's kingdom, will be last forever. There's no kingdom in Israel right now. But the king is in heaven. The king of kings. So the kingdom of David is still forever. See 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12, and 16 as well. Now, Jesus refers to himself as the seed. Did you know that? Look what it says in John 12, verse 24, contemporary English version. It says, I tell you that for certain that a grain of wheat that falls on the ground will never be more than one grain, unless it happens what? Jesus was talking about himself. And the people around him, the disciples, kind of understood that what he meant. If you have a seed, you keep inside of a bag, nothing happens. But once that you plant, it multiplies. And Jesus was saying this, it will produce lots of wheat, but it wants to be planted. He was also predicting that he was going to give his life in order to produce life. Jesus referred to himself as a seed. This is what the parable means. The seed is the word of God. Do you remember the Bible says that Jesus is the word? John said clearly in chapter 1, he says, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word is God, the word is the seed. The seed is the word. And that's exactly what Luke 8, verse 11, Good News Translation is implying. The scriptures demonstrate that Jesus is the seed. When the parable says that Jesus sows the word and Jesus sows the seed, he is telling us that he sows himself. That's what he's planting himself in our hearts. It says that we must prepare our hearts in order to be a fertile ground for this seed to be planted. What follows are scripture references about Jesus as the seed. Let's show you some. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23, NIV, News International Version, it says, for you have been born again, not of what kind of seed? Is not, some even says corrupted seed, but of imperishable. What is the word imperishable implies? Life that will never end. Jesus said, I am life. And Jesus also said, if you have me, you have life. And so he says, if you have this seed planted in you, this seed will keep you forever alive. It says, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Comparing Peter, again, Jesus as the word and Jesus as the seed. Jesus as the eternal seed. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. It's referring to Jesus Christ inside of us. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, New International Version. Again, brothers and sisters, Jesus says this, the thief, remember? The enemy, the destroyer, comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come in order that you might have the seed, life. Life in all its fullness means life eternal. John 10:10, Good News Translation. Very easy to remember, right? John 10:10 is about life. Keep the 10 and you have life. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's 10 too. Seed is the essence of all life. We have flowers here. And we like to express our gratitude for those that are taking the time to bring those flowers. It's beautiful. Right? I didn't hear any amen. It looks like I'm the only one enjoying the flowers. All right, and we like to let you know that it is a beautiful offering that you give. But those flowers here, they all will perish. But we should not. Amen. We are the flowers in the garden of God. He has planted his seed in us, and we must flourish. The seed contains all the DNA. By the way, some of you here, I talked to some young people. They are going to the medical field, and some know what DNA stands for. But not today. For this message, DNA means something else. For us, the DNA means divine natural attributes. When the seed of God is planted in you, you developed the attributes that is natural for somebody who came from the hands of the Almighty. That's what the DNA means. The seed contains all the DNA to replicate the life of the organisms from which the seed came. The seed Jesus planted in our hearts carries all the divine natural attributes of our Creator. You want to be like Jesus? Let Jesus be the seed that grows in your heart. There you go, sister. All right? I went back because somebody pulled the phone. I said, I want to make sure that she gets the idea of the seed. Jesus is the eternal seed. As we sow the seed into the world around us, what is going to happen? When we plant the seed, growth will come. Every year, I don't know how many, some of you have celebrated quite a few Christmas already. I can see by your gray hair. If you look at me, I have celebrated quite a few. The question is, what we are celebrating? Are we celebrating a festive day? Because it's not a holy day. You all know what a holy means, right? There is 52 holy days in a year. And Christmas is not one of them. Okay? Unless it's celebrated on the Sabbath. But it is a festive day. There's nothing wrong. It's just the opposite. It's a beautiful that we celebrate this wonderful gesture of kindness of God by granting us Himself. Because He didn't give His Son. He came Himself in the form of a son. That's the Creator that came in and put the uniform, your humanity, my humanity, to say, I create them, I rescue them. Nobody else can. So I must go down there. And He came. And He came among us. And now we are to continue. By the way, it's so sad that we celebrate Christmas only once a year instead of the whole year. Have you heard people saying, it is a wonderful time of the year, the song, right? It's a beautiful, it's every. Why don't we keep that spirit? Let me turn this into a little negative, just for a short bit, very short bit. Have you noticed how much Satan is involved and try to destroy the spirit of Christmas? We have sometimes people inside of our own church. And I was one day preaching around December. And one person was, I noticed from in the front, I noticed that somebody was passing on some paper to the members. So later on I got one of those papers. And one of those papers says, don't celebrate Christmas. It's pagan and this, this. Inside of the church. I understand when people are so concerned about not to get confused between the things that are pagan and the things that are not pagan. But let me say this to you. If you look in the Bible makes reference to the tree of life. The sanctuary has trees. The temple has trees. There's nothing wrong with the tree. Is what you use for. One person wants to talk to me about using pagan symbols. And I said to this person, do you work on Sunday? And this person was claimed to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, do you work on Sunday? By the way, don't raise your hand, but how many of you here do work on Sunday? Or take your Sunday off. Is it wrong for you to take your Sunday off? Because the Bible says you should work for 6 days. That means that there's no chance for the retired people to retire, because if you have work 6 days, sometimes people have a tendency to take things so, to an extreme. It looks like they turn off their common sense so that they try to make a point when there's no point to make. I like to say this to you. It is important for us to always keep a very distinction between what is good and bad. And whatever you choose to do in life, make sure that everything that you're doing glorify the God that has created you and has planted the seed of Christ in you. Make sure that if you're doing something according to the scripture, you'll be in good shape. If you go and start practicing things that is against what the scripture teaches, then you should be concerned. There's nothing wrong about us celebrating Christmas. On the 25th, or 26th, 24th, 23th, in May, June, you're going to look strange. You're walking around dressing all Christmas attire in May, but you may do it. It's up to you. You can do whatever you want. There are people now that are celebrating all the things. Oh, we don't want to celebrate Christmas. So let's call, and they put a different name. Satan will try to do everything to destroy the seed and anything to do with the seed. And he's going to use people inside of the church, outside of the church, in the media, in Follywood. You know what I call Follywood, right? There's no such thing, nothing holy about that place. Only Follywood. If you see the initial SC, what do we think that initial will stand for if it's related to the season? Santa Claus. Why they call the guy Santa? Why they call him Saint? Why he does dress like in the Ancient of Days? Why he comes on Christmas? Why he comes to bring gifts to the children? All the intent is to plant a seed, the wrong seed. S-C, in my vocabulary, stands for a special child. It talks about the Redeemer. But for an evil one, it means Satan's children. For everything that God creates, Satan always has to create something else so he can plant his own evil seed. We don't celebrate Santa Claus. Do you know why? Because that individual was created to replace in the mind of the child who is giving you gifts. It's not your beloved parent. It is somebody who doesn't exist. Have you noticed that the children doesn't even a way to express gratitude because that connection is eliminated? And many other things is happening. Now, I also noticed that some people, especially from Hollywood, decide to create a lot of very scary movies to show during Christmas. Because we need to spoil that beautiful spirit that they have. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Don't let the wrong seed to be planted in your heart. This is the time for us to plant the right seed on the hearts of everyone. If somebody wants to know why we are so happy, tell them the good news about God's seed that is being planted in us. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oops, I went too fast there. Okay. Let the slides play. Yes, us. For unto us, yes, sus. Why was a firstborn? Have you noticed throughout the Bible, it talks about the offering of the firstborn, the lamb. Every single offering was the firstborn. Perfect, has to be perfect, has to be young, because all of them represent the promise of the seed, Jesus Christ. She gave birth to her firstborn, emphasis, son. She dressed him in a baby clothing and put him right there in a manger. Emmanuel. I emphasize the E-L because that is what the word God. God with us. And today I would like to say, God with us, it is important, but more important than anything that God intends always to do is to have God in us. Not only with us, but in us. I hope that the seed of God has been planted in your heart. And I hope that you will be a blessing, not only to yourself, but to others. For unto us a son is given. I know it spells a little bit different, but it almost sounds like forgiven, right? Forgiven. Yes, for unto us a son is given. And the intent was to forgive us, to claim us, to make us his own. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name will be what? He shall be called what?
Wonderful.
Counselor. Mighty. God. Everlasting. Father. Prince of Peace. Since in the Hebrew there is no comma, I made that division myself. There are 7 names there. Perfect, the perfect Redeemer, the perfect seed. I mentioned to you before. One day, some of Jehovah's Witnesses came, the whole family knocked at my door. And they were walking around the neighborhood. I mentioned this story before. And it was so hot. This was in Riverside. It was so hot. And these people were dressed like this in clothes. And they're sweating. And the little boy also with the suit, they were sharp. You know, that's the way real people, important people should dress. They were dressed very well. And the ladies dressed with a very, very well dressed. And they were walking. And I knew my neighbors. And I knew my neighbors would not open the door for them. And they went, this was a cul-de-sac, so I saw the first house, second house, third house, fourth house, and it came. Ours was the last one that it would come. And they were doing this. I opened and said, "Welcome in the name of Jehovah." They almost had a heart attack. And they smiled. And you know that they remain kind of serious all the time. They are very, so they open and they ask me, "Are you religious?" I said, "Yes, I am. I am a Christian." "What denomination?" I said, let me say this to you. If I tell you what denomination I am from, you're going to spend all your time telling me what is wrong about my church. I open my door for you to tell me what is right with your church. Tell me what is right with your church. What do you have to give me, to offer me, so that I can pass on to my family? And and they went 5 minutes 10 minutes and they run out of what to say. And went back, by the way, what is your church? I said, look, like I said before, I opened my door so you can be a blessing to us. That's all the intent that we did. I saw you walk in the sun. I can see that you have been dedicated your time because you want something to be better. So I opened my door because I believe that you have something good to share with us. But I do have a question. Oh, yes, yes, yes. They were so happy when I initiated the question. I do have a question. Do you mind to open your Bible, New World Translation? Would you open your Bible? Because they won't, if you open any other Bible, they will run. They will run as fast as they can be. So I said, what about you open your Bible? Isaiah 9 verse 6. And I knew, because I have the translation in my home. I have it not only in English, but I have it in Hebrew. I have the translation, and I knew. But they didn't. They were not prepared for that. They opened their Bible, and they started reading. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Oh, we gotta go. They realized then that they came to my home to say that Jesus was not God. And their own Bible was telling me, yes, not only he is a mighty God, but he is the everlasting Father. He is my creator. He is my redeemer. Your Bible tell me so. But they didn't give me time for saying those things to them. They got up and they got to go. I said, would you at least have a prayer? No, we don't pray for infidels. I think they deserve to be barbecued outside because they didn't want anything to share as only religion. Brothers and sisters, why I'm sharing this story again to you. Don't turn Christmas into a fanatical opportunity to hit other people in the head because they don't believe the way you believe. Let the seed inside of you show the flowers that the gift of God gives to us. Use the season to plant the right seed. But remember, I don't know how many of you have worked in the field. I have, since I was 10, I have been planting, and you need to remove the soil, prepare the soil. The soil needs to have the proper ingredients. You need to know how to put the seed. You need how to cover the seed. It is a process. You cannot just take the seed, toss it, and hope for. Take the time, take the right spirit, but please do plant the seed. The Lord has planted the seed in you. Now is your responsibility to duplicate those seeds and plant them in the hearts of others. Yes, brothers and sisters, are you coming? Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for the seed, which should be in all the hearts. Psalms 119, verse 2, New Living Translation. And for God so loved the world, I like to say this, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that I choose not to perish, but I will embrace this offering and have an everlasting life. John 3:16. God with us. Is God planted in you? Can you say God is in us, with us? If not, you won't have Christmas. You may have a season, but not Christmas. If you want to have Christmas, let the seed grow. Let Emmanuel be present in everything you do. Tell people, God is in me and should be also in you. Emmanuel.